Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is fairly easy for me to tell which one of you was born and raised in the Midwest. The way you speak helps me to identify that. And if you are from the Deep South, I mean no offense by this, but I have figured you out. The fact is that throughout these United States, we do have different dialects. We do use different words for different things. My mother says pop, others say soda. In the South, they might say Coke. And while I first realized this really, when I went to the seminary in Indiana, which was the first time I lived outside of this great state of Wisconsin, when I found out that as a new man that I just met on this first day of moving in said to me, "Hey, do you know where I can get some water?" And I said, "Sure, there's a bubbler down the hall." And he looked at me completely stupefied. He had no idea what I was saying. It was as if I was speaking a different language. And I think that there is one word that shows that you are from Wisconsin more than any, and that is the word bag. And you can tell me how to correctly pronounce it, because I have yet to figure out how it's supposed to be pronounced. That is how I pronounced it my entire life. It's probably how I'll continue to pronounce it, and yet here we are. If they want to know where you're from, they'll ask you to pronounce that word. And so our dialects, even though we are speaking the same language of English, sometimes confuse. Imagine being in a room of people all speaking different, not just dialects, but also languages. How did the girl get to point out that Peter surely was one of them before his crucifixion? Because she could tell that his accent gave him away. He was one of those northerners. He had a certain twang in his voice, just like we have throughout our own country. In Genesis 11, we see what happens when people all try to, with one accord, do things that God has not given them to do. They try to be their own God. They try to build a tower up into the heavens to make a name for themselves. And I love how God dictates this to Moses, because he then says, "Let us go down that we might see it." They thought they had made such a name for themselves that they had built this tower so high that they could be like God in the heavens. And yet God says, "Let us go down." God confuses their language. And yet, these multiple tongues seem to be the way that God had designed it. Because when St. John sees the vision in heaven, he sees people from multiple tribes, from multiple tongues, that is, languages. There is such a confusion in our epistle lesson today from the book of Acts. There is such a confusion about what the actual gift of Pentecost is, what the gift of the Holy Spirit is. It does not allow you to utter some sort of gibberish that no one can understand. Rather, these are known tongues. These are actual languages that people speak, and most likely will speak in heaven. So we see from our epistle lesson that Luke records these events. And as the disciples, all 12, because Matthias has been chosen to replace Judas, all 12 are gathered, and they are proclaiming the mighty deeds of God, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit rushes upon them, and they begin proclaiming those same words, but now everyone can hear it in their own languages. So many people were in Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost. This feast of harvest, a feast that would also celebrate the giving of the law to Moses. And so they were required, if they were able-bodied men, to go to Jerusalem for this feast. And I love how St. Luke writes this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come. That Old Testament feast of Pentecost had pointed forward to this. That 50 days after the Passover is now 50 days after our Lord's Passover from death into life. This is what Pentecost had really been focusing on. This is what had been preparing them for. And the disciples had been told by Jesus to be in Jerusalem because the Holy Spirit would be given to them not much later than that. And so they were gathered. And what do God's children do when they gather? They proclaim his mighty deeds. There's a very good chance that they were gathered in a worship service, that the apostles would preach and teach. It makes sense that they would gather around this. And St. Luke writes, they were with one accord in one place. Notice that in Genesis 11, they were in one accord in one place, but their one accord was not God's accord. They were not in accordance with what God had commanded them. For God had commanded them to be fruitful and multiply, to go over the face of the earth and subdue it, to have lordship over it. And they cared more about their own name. But here we see these men proclaiming not their own deeds, but the deeds of God. They were proclaiming through the Old Testament scriptures what God said he would do, and the fulfillment found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. They were proclaiming that while they were yet sinners, while they failed him, while they failed to understand, even as he was ascending, Jesus Christ died for them and for the whole world. All of our sins were nailed to him on that cross, and on that cross he felt the weight of all the sins of the world. 2,000 years later, and what are we doing? We're doing the exact same thing. We're all gathered in one place as one people in one accord to proclaim the mighty works of God and what he has done. The fact that he died not just for those apostles, not just for the 120, not just for all of those men that were gathered in Jerusalem that day of Pentecost, but for each and every one of you too. And even for me. We are doing what they were doing. They are gathering around that word to proclaim the mighty deeds that he has done. And while the people around them at first are confused, how on earth are these men, who clearly are Galilean, for just before we heard them in their native twangy voices, how are they now proclaiming those same words, but now I can hear it, and I can hear it in my own native tongue? Undoubtedly, the people spoke Greek, Aramaic, Latin. You would need those sorts of languages to do commerce in that area. But now, in their own tongues, they hear the mighty works of God. It is absolutely wonderful to learn other languages. Pastors have to study Greek and Hebrew as they're studying to be pastors. Latin is an extremely helpful language for a number of reasons. And yet, even though you might know those languages, when you hear the message in your own native tongue, even maybe with your own native twang, maybe it's how the apostle would say the word bag, you hear the mighty works of what Jesus Christ has done for you and for the world. That is the miracle of Pentecost. That is what the Holy Spirit does. He takes that word and he proclaims it to every nation in their own languages. That is why Luther found it so important to translate the scriptures into German. And that is why we have it in English today. It is a joy to share those words with you. And I pray that it is your joy to share those words with others. That today the Holy Spirit fills you so much that you can't wait until you get home to tell somebody else about Jesus. The most important message you will ever share with another human being. Yes, the Holy Spirit does great things here at St. Peter's and throughout the church, throughout the world. Because as Luther explains in the third article's meaning, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. Because of my sinful nature, apart from Christ, I cannot move an inch toward him. And so it is by the grace of God, by the work of his Holy Spirit, that he called you here today. He says, in the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. The Holy Spirit is working in this congregation, in each one of you right now. The Holy Spirit that was poured out upon you on the day of your baptism, through the water and through the word, you have received his gifts. You've received him here today as his word has been proclaimed once again. And yet his work is not yet done. Luther includes one last paragraph. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. That last day is quickly approaching, dear children of God. I pray that every day you are preparing for it. And while you should be ready for it to be today, still do what is necessary to pass the faith on to your children, on to your grandchildren. Tell them the mighty deeds. Be of one accord. Do not do things that will try to tear apart the fabrics of this bride of Christ, but rather use words that will build one another up, that the words of God may be proclaimed in you, that others might see his mighty deeds. On the last day, he will raise us, and all believers in Christ will have eternal life with him. This is most certainly true. Amen. The church sings, come, holy fire, comfort true. Grant us the will your work to do, and in your service to abide. Let trials turn us not aside. Lord, by your power prepare each heart, and to our weakness strength impart, that bravely here we may contend, through life and death to you our Lord ascend. Alleluia, alleluia. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.